All right. What is up, everybody? Welcome to the Toddcast. It is Thursday. It is your pre State of the Union pregame event. That's pretty much that's
That's
how we're gonna
tonight?
look
I
at
don't even
this.
know.
Yeah, it's at 9 o'clock. It's in
Oh,
50 minutes.
okay.
So
I'm sure it'll be riveting.
right?
Well,
We're gonna watch
unless,
MTG lose her shit and hopefully
yeah.
get thrown out of the
Oh,
chamber. And
of course, it'll be worth it if there's a highlight of Biden just giving her the finger. It'd be like
oh
the
my God, that'd be great. You know what? Yeah.
most epic If he just goes, grumpy old man and just goes full on with
finger.
that, you know what? I'm
Total
down for
dark
it.
Brandon. I'm
Dark
down. That's
Brandon.
right.
I love Dark
He
Brandon. He
better
puts the
have
shades
the
on himself.
sunglasses ready to go. Yeah.
That's right. Wasn't he selling coffee mugs where if you like the
Dude,
eyes would light up or something? Like he was leaning into it at one
I
point.
bought one.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, I bought one, and then immediately after my first cup of coffee, I have two smaller dogs now, and they're crazy hyper. So one ran, and I tripped, and I busted the fucking handle off. So now it's a pen cup in my bedroom.
Just hope you have
But
some hot pens, I guess. I don't know.
well, my wife keeps the house super cold all the time, so
Oh, good
it's
luck then.
yeah. So even in the winter, it's like 40 degrees in my house. Anyway, windows are open, whatever, it's snowing, whatever. That's just how we roll.
It's Pittsburgh.
It is, it's
It's
true. So
true.
it's yeah. So we are joined tonight with our good friend Dennis Robinson, creator of Lycan and podcaster, game master, what else? What
Jersey,
Jersey aficionado.
mostly I just wore it just to tease John because he always talks about how he likes
I
the
love
jersey.
them so
So,
much.
and I'm like,
I
well, here's the
do.
new one. Ah, did
I've seen pictures of it, and I was like, God damn, he just keeps making sweet, sweet jerseys.
Well, do you know who designs the jerseys, right?
No.
Swan.
Oh,
Yeah,
really?
she and I sit down. So, Awayo is the name of the company, and they have like a designer program or whatever. So yeah, she and I sit down and we just literally just knock a jersey out every time. So
Wow. You have to make sure you tell her I said hello. I do miss Emily. She's always
will
fun
do.
to hang out with.
Yeah.
So before we dive in, we're gonna remind people that this Saturday is our Ohio Valley Mall anniversary sale. Tons of stuff on sale. Dollar books are half off. Lots of fun. I just dropped off some awesome wall books for there. Then shortly thereafter, we will have the return of the warehouse sale for this year, in April. So if you're interested in coming out to the what is right now a meat locker because it is not heated at all, warehouse,
So you feel
it'll
like
be a
you're
good
right at home.
time. It oh my God, for me it is. It's like I'm just at home. At least that cold the snakes stay out of the building. am I
Secretly,
joking? Mm. No, I'm
the
not.
Penguins sit there and they dig through comic books instead of playing hockey.
Yeah,
So.
it's true. Like, every once in a while we'll just randomly see like Sidney Crosby skate through the side and like, we're just like, oh, hey man, what's up? And then after that, we're prepping for Free Comic Book Day. Don't forget that. And then also remember, Three Rivers Comic Con is coming up in June. Tickets are on sale. You can get your cheaper tickets now till May 6th. And then after that, they go up to whatever it's going to be at the door, which is like $2 to $3 more, depending on the price point that you buy it at. And if you buy your ticket in your local New Dimension Comics, we will eat the service fee, which isn't a lot, but we'll still eat it for you because we're cool like that. So, and we still have some guests to announce. Oh my God, we still have guests to announce, and I'm this close on a couple of them. I got an amazingly fun email that I will tell you guys about after we're done, so it's not on record. Because I was like, did that email just happen? So, but I'll tell you about it later. And then real quick, I just want to show you guys the awesome toys that are available in your local NDC and some of your other shops now that I bought because I'm a stupid Big Masters fan. Movie Evil-Lyn.
Okay.
And she comes with like a clear key, which is cool. Okay. Like the universe key thing.
Oh, that's right.
And then
the thing that made absolutely no sense in the entire movie. Yeah.
Orko and Quildor. Because I'm pretty sure this is only the second time they've ever made Gwildor.
Yeah.
And Andy comes with that super souped up He-Man power sword that he made in the Revolution TV show, which I really enjoyed. And if you haven't watched it and you're a Masters fan, you should. It was very good.
Yes.
So, all right. Now we can talk some werewolves.
I'm always down for that.
So to promo tonight, I definitely posted about the Maria Wolf cover because I was like,
it's
oh my
awesome.
God, this thing is so nice.
It's awesome.
It is so good.
Thank you again, John, for recommending Maria to me at Baltimore Comic Con last year.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad it worked out more than anything.
It's easy to convince Maria to do, hey, do you want to do a Wolf cover? Because
yep.
She's down for whatever. You
yeah.
know?
It's like, yo, Wolfie, you want to yeah. dress more wolves? And she's yeah. just like, yeah, yeah, I like yep. wolves. Yeah.
yeah. Yeah, and she's been messaging me like off and on through the last few weeks. She's like, this is going to be a fun one. I was like, okay, all right, wait. We'll see what comes out. I'm on pins and needles. And then I got it like 2 days before we were supposed to launch. And I was like, oh, cut it close. All right, sweet. And then gave it to the colorist. And then colorist knocked it out in a day and then gave it to the letter who finished it in like 10 minutes. Because
nice.
They're both awesome. And I was like, okay, thank God. And then
well,
the
letter the
probably
was
anyway,
all just like
so.
Digitally slap the logo on
it's
there.
Just, it's the same probably lettering that he already did for the first cover. So it's just like, all right.
Right. So, but it looks so good. And it's very Maria Wolf.
Oh, yeah.
So the other cool part is you're both going to be at Three Rivers Comic Con. So if anyone gets these by then, they can buy them
June?
From you. June 1st and 2nd.
Yeah, they won't be there by then.
Ah,
people take a very long. So I can't send the books to print until everyone fills out or answers my questions for the surveys because of the thank you page that goes in the book.
Oh, yeah. Right.
So people are not always the best, and every time I've done a Kickstarter so far, I have to. Usually, it's people that I know personally, and then have to walk them through how to find the survey again because they lost it. Or just have them tell me what they like. Just tell me what name you want to put in the book, and then I just put it in there. Or look
ours,
at what they had the last year.
You can just put New Dimension Comics in for ours. It's okay. It doesn't need to be anybody specific. Just
sure.
The company in
Todd.
General is fine.
Yeah.
No, don't do that. Todd. He'll never see the book anyway. Like
for my dearest friend Todd.
Todd,
I know you so well. Thanks so much for your support and all everything you do.
Wow. But okay, so when will the book actually be shipped out then?
So again, that depends on when I can get the responses from everybody. Okay. The book isn't 100% finished art wise yet. I believe we're on page 84 out of 90. So we're close to having the art done. The colorist is a little further behind. He's 50 something, I believe.
Okay.
And then the letterer basically can, do those as fast as, as I give them to him pretty much. So if I had to guess, the book will probably end up being done by May. And then if the surveys have been filled out by then, it takes 3 months for them to print it and then ship it because they print it out of China. So,
okay.
So it takes 4 to 6 weeks to print it and then 4 to 6 weeks to ship it. So, I could spend extra money for like 3-day shipping, but it's more than the printing cost of the book.
don't do that. No. So, okay, then I will suggest to you maybe making some prints of her cover for the show.
Oh, I have it. Yeah, yeah. Yep, that's the plan.
And be like $10 for this print.
That's what I do.
There you go. Good deal. I'll try to make sure you're at least like in the same row.
Okay. That worked. Last time at Three Rivers, I was around like four werewolf people. There's a werewolf movie behind me. And I forget there was a couple other werewolves in the immediate vicinity. And then somebody came up to me and said that they also had a book called Lycan, but I didn't get a chance to go over and actually look at it. So I have no idea what if
that's
there is
funny.
Or not.
Well, the thing I find kind of interesting of how that fell into that. Like, I think I knew that the movie people were a werewolf movie, but the other people, I don't think I necessarily knew that. I don't, because they just kind of wrote like self-published books, right? As their description. And then we like Scott, who's the third member of our Three Rivers team, he's the guy who actually vets all this stuff and makes sure that like it's not porn or it's not like super racist or anything.
Sure.
Like he's the guy that checks for that kind of stuff. Yeah. So if you do find anything that's wrong at the show, we know who to blame because he's not on the show. So
I did think it was very serendipitous, though, last year. I'm walking around like, it's like, we're very werewolf heavy this year.
I was going to say, I don't normally Heroes Con, there were two werewolf people. Lee Horton does a Scottish werewolf book, but he didn't actually have his books with him. He just had his like amazing art prints. And then there was another lady who was like an aisle and over one that she also does like an anime style, almost Ghibli-esque werewolf book. So I was like, okay, well, there's three werewolf, you know, people. That was the most werewolf stuff I had seen, at least like in a comic book format, in any of the shows I did last year, other than your show. But again, that was sort of mixed media. Yeah. There was a few different werewolf things going on, but.
Yeah, it's weird sometimes though, because like, you know, because honestly, what we do is we take like the big two or three published people, and we just kind of like put them around the room so that people have to walk to them. And if they like, you know, like there's guys like I'm gonna put, Trish by Dave Wachter, because they're both gonna have a book by Tony Fleeks, like they each did an art with Tony Fleeks writing, so I'm gonna put them side by side, right? Because that makes sense. But like, and then there's like some people like Vito knows everybody, so he's like kind of I can put him by anyone and it's cool. But sometimes I want to put him by like somebody higher up, because like he'll know them, and like I trust him. Like if they need something and they're too shy to ask, like he'll get in touch with me. You know, that kind of thing. But mostly I put them around the room because I want people to walk through the room to find the higher people. I don't want to just put them all in the back or in the front, or along the wall. Like that doesn't make sense to me.
Sure.
Right. Cause it's like putting the milk in the back. Right. So it just happened though last year that all those people just probably put like self-published comics, and we just happened to put you all in the same thing. Cause I literally then blindly plug people in. So, you know?
Yeah. Cause I remember Comicsburg was across from me, but they were like three tables or four tables, if you count the L. So they had like a real long, but they also have like eight people. So
they had
a bunch of different people in there, and I forget who else was in there. But yeah, I do remember the werewolf movie. I have it. I still haven't watched it yet, but because I have no time. But yeah, they were behind me, so I had a chance to talk to them a few times. So they were super nice.
Nice, yeah, that's good. I'm glad you had fun at the show. You know, we're looking forward to having you back. It's going
to
be another.
I used
crazy
to live in Pittsburgh,
year.
So it's always fun. You know, coming back and then getting to eat all my favorite foods, at least as much as I can anyways. And then you introduced me to the new foods that I now have to add to the list of going to.
Well, I thought it was funny, like, because you came in for Memento, the second Memento con, and we had dinner because, like, I had the Steranko signing the one night and then something else going on the next day, and we just couldn't make it work. So you and I met up for dinner at the hell is it called? Nova. And it's what used to be the Allegheny Mall, right?
Which I used to walk
and
through
you
to go
used
to school
live
every
behind
day.
It. Yeah, and we're sitting there, and you're like,
because I even said to you, I was
this
like,
is the mall that I used to walk
through. Yeah. Well, I didn't even know it because it was dark, so it didn't it didn't look familiar to me at all. And I was like, oh yeah, I used to walk through this one mall to go to school every day. And you're like, yeah, we're sitting in it right now. Like, we're here. I was like, oh, I would have never have known.
This is it was so the building. Nice.
It
yes.
was crap back then in 2006, yeah. 2005 or six. Yeah.
Way yeah, back. I don't disbelieve that it was crap back then.
Well, it was weird that they would let you walk through it. I don't think there were any stores in it, but you could just walk through it. So like people, because I guess it was a pain in the butt to walk around it.
Yeah.
So you just walk through it. And I'm the most memorable thing about that mall was when a security guard not in the mall chased me through the mall and caught me on the other side of the mall because he thought I was Ashton Kutcher. Because I had longer hair at that point. And like,
I can see that though.
He started up from like, what's the baseball stadium? PNC Park? Is that what it is? Or
yeah.
What is it?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he started up there and caught me on the other side of the mall. And he was like, and I was like, are you okay? Like, is there, like, can I help you with something? He's like, I was like, why are you chasing me? He's like, oh, I thought you were Ashton Kutcher. I was like, well, why are you chasing me? And he's just like, I was going to get an autograph. And I was like, okay. I mean, I'll sign something for you if you want. But like, he's like, no, it's fine. And he just like walked away very dejected. I was like, all right.
Oh, my.
That's awesome.
Wow.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen people do that for Steeler autographs. They're like,
yeah,
go after Troy Polamalu. Like, you really want to run after Troy Polamalu? Go for it.
Right.
I was like, he's a nice dude. I was like, but he's stacked.
Yeah.
He's gonna knock you.
Yeah. I remember one time we had a manager's meeting in Cranberry at the North Park Lounge. And we're sitting, they seated us in this little like window area that faces Route 19. So basically there's chairs and tables on one side and chairs and tables on the other side, and then nothing in the middle. And we're all on one side, and this family's on the other side, and we're just like, man, that guy kind of looks familiar, like from behind, like he's facing the wall. And then eventually they get up to leave, and it's Troy Polamalu and his whole family. We're just like, we're all like, oh shit, oh shit. Like, and then like, there, of course, there was like two people there that were like, who's Troy Polamalu? We're like, oh man, you live up to nerd. You,
yeah,
you, wow.
Is he a sports ball player?
Did
he score goal unit baskets?
Yeah.
I was going to say, you watch shampoo commercials, right? He's the head.
Yeah, I was
right?
going to say, yeah. It's hard not to have seen yeah. it at some point in your life.
Yeah.
Right. And they were like, oh, he does look familiar. And I'm like, oh, my God. Just kill me. You guys are awful.
My family are all Steelers fans. I'm an Eagles fan. And my family members, yeah, they would freak out. They have, like, Troy Polamalu jerseys. And, mm-hmm. yeah, they're decked to the nines and Steelers stuff. So, yeah, they would freak out and squeal yeah. probably. That's how I would be if I ever met Jason Kelce, just because that guy just looks like he'd be fun to hang out with.
Right.
I don't know if you saw when the Bills played the Chiefs, Jason Kelce was in the parking lot.
Yeah.
Chugging mm-hmm. beer with the fans.
Yeah. He looked yeah. like a Bills fan. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a man of the people. It's like, okay.
I would,
and then at
I
the
would
game,
totally
he was hanging
hang
out the window, yeah. shirtless, two beers in each hand, just rah!
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's Jason.
I feel like college me would have had a great time hanging out with him. 42-year-old me, not
Maybe
so much.
He said in his retirement speech that the GM was keeping him around year after year by just driving him with kegs of beer. And like it worked, it kept him around for
it.
Another couple of years. He's just like, all right, but I guess he got his wife was just like, nope, no more, we're done. And he's like, okay, fine.
Wow, I believe it though. I can totally believe it. So, all right, let's take a look at the Kickstarter and see where we're at. Boom. So, holy crap, $6,000 out of 10, 60%.
Yeah,
what,
I am
six
surprised.
Days?
Yeah, like, no, five. It's only been five.
Oh.
Yeah, I've been shocked at how well it's gone so far. Because one of the nice things about Kickstarter, you can look at your previous projects and sort of see day by day, you know, how much money you made and all that stuff, and sort of mm-hmm. how many backers and all that stuff. And just looking at the other two, this one blows the other two out of the water in terms of how fast it got up and like the number of backers and the amount of time. Like, I think for this amount of money, it took the other two campaigns more than 2 weeks to do. So to have this in
right.
like five and a half days. Yeah, blows my mind. So
that's awesome.
super happy with how it's turned out so far, which makes me happy because of the dumb amount of work that I put into this Kickstarter.
That's awesome. We finally got
Project Sula, which I've never
logged in. Okay. I was like, why is it telling me I haven't backed this? I'm like, I know I backed it. I'm like, oh, it's because I didn't log in. Okay, cool.
I was going to say, I know you backed it. I saw it. Thank you.
Yep. I was like, retailer covers. Boom. Let's go.
Yep.
So for you guys who haven't read the book, you can check out the whole story, or at least a nickel tour of the story, right here. Check out the book. You can see some of the art styles. You can see some covers, which are awesome. I like this one a lot.
That one I'm going to modify. So I didn't have enough time to play with it because of how soon it came with the Kickstarter. But when that's like minus the lichen and all the stuff that's on it, that'll be what the print is for that. But before I actually send it to print, I'm going to move this image down so it's not covering up the, and then I'll just fill in the top with some dark spots.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. So it's more like sky, like the logos in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just don't want to cover up the werewolf's face because Matthew Sutton's the artist that did that. And I was like, well, I think he did a really great job, but I don't want to cover up your awesome art.
I mean, right now it just kind of looks like awkward teeth coming out of the sky, but it's cool. You know, I'm cool with that. Like demon sky. There's the Maria cover.
Yeah.
It's just holy shit. Like,
Yep.
Damn.
She nailed it.
You're welcome.
Thank you. I can't say thank you enough.
So, I thought this was cool. Like that you actually put down the cost of things.
And I made a whole video explaining how everything breaks down, where the money goes. And I've seen that in other Kickstarters before, and I get there's a few comments that I always get after Kickstarters are over, and I think I even say it in the video where. After the first one, I had set the goal at 6,000, and after Kickstarter and bounced cards, I had made about 8,500, I think it was. So people were like, oh, you made $2,000 of profit. It's like, no, that's just what I set the goal at. The first book actually cost me $22,500 to make in print. So no, the 8,500 did not make the money back. It just paid for the printing cost basically, and a little bit, you know, more on top of that to help keep production going. So I figured since I keep getting that after each Kickstarter, I'd make a little video explaining, you know, nope, it's actually really expensive to make comics if you're the cheapest guy on the team, aka the writer.
Yeah, I imagine. You know, paper is not cheap is the big thing. There's especially that. like and you could do like for those of you guys who haven't seen, like, we do have some copies of volume 1 and 2 in the store still. Like, it's not cheap paper. Like, it's high quality paper.
Yep.
Like, the cover is like this high quality cardstock. Like, it is sexy. It is a sexy book. Absolutely. And
I'm a stickler for quality. So I was like, I want this to look like a legitimate book. So.
Right. I mean, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, if you're going to do all this work, you might as well not have the product look like crap when you're done.
Yeah, right. And I've had other, like, printing companies come up to me at shows. Almost every show, there's various printing companies. I'm just like, yeah, I mean, sometimes I like the quality's pretty good, and sometimes I don't like the quality at all. And I'm just like, well, I mean, I like the company I'm working with, so I don't really see any reason to switch off of it. Because I love how the quality of the books turns out every time. And they... Whenever I go to submit the book, there's a lot of back and forth. Like, anytime they spot anything that might even remotely be wrong, they reach out and they're like, hey, let's fix this or that. So their customer support team is also amazing. So yeah, Print Ninja. Love them to death.
Nice. All right, let's go to back this project and look at your tiers. So for $5, you just get the PDF.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I'm just curious, but how many of these do you normally get? Like, of people that are like, I just want to read it. Here's $5.
So I can look up exactly how many from like the last one, but typically I think it's a few. It's like, it's definitely over a dozen. No. So like the second one, it was 47 backers were at that level.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Because, like, part of me just kind of, like, you know, being in the industry of comics, to me, like, this kind of feels like the, my family's going to back it, and they're just going to get a PDF of it, and...
I do have some friends that do that, where... so what I do with the Kickstarter, when things start to slow down, I haven't done it this week, I'll probably start doing it next week, is I bug every human being on my phone, Facebook, and Instagram that I know personally. As long as the last message I sent them wasn't, hey, I'm doing this Kickstarter, it's like, well, haven't talked to them in a year and a half. I'm going to just not do that and try to remember to send them a message before that. So when I reach out to people that way, there's a couple people that are just being nice, I think. And they're just like, all right, here's $5, sort of a thing. And just for your edification, the first book had 28 backers at the digital level. So
okay. So not bad.
No.
Respectable. And then this is the second tier. So for $15, you get all three books as a PDF.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of cool. Like, you know, for, you know, I like that it's like a catch up tier.
Yeah.
You know, and then I guess the goal to have them buy the PDFs digitally and then like find you at a show or something and buy them in person if they like it.
So
like,
they can do it that way, or they could buy it on the website.
Right.
If memory serves, I think I put on the inside cover of the PDF, hey, if you want to buy these physically, here's the website that you can go to. I think I do that.
Oh, cool.
I can't remember off the top of my head. I know I do it for the Amazon because Amazon is dumb with how much they take from the digital books. Like, they take, so I don't know how familiar you are with selling digital books on Amazon, but you have two options as a creator. You can take 35% royalty or 70% royalty. And in theory, 70 would be the obvious. But if you take the 70, they charge you like a $3 delivery fee. So then they only end up being like a penny or two apart in the end. So yeah, it's dumb. I end up charging $7 on Amazon, and I'm still only getting like $2.30 if somebody buys it, just because I hate Amazon.
Wow.
I don't even sell them physically on Amazon because I hate their print. What is it?
The print house? Yeah.
Whatever,
like print,
it is.
Print on demand or whatever it is. Yeah,
print
yeah.
On demand. That's what it is. Yeah. I hate the quality of the books. And there was a guy I met at a show who, he had gotten his books printed through them, and every book was in a totally different size. Like, he didn't do that, he said. They just printed it in different sizes. So, like, the images were stretched, and the dimensions were all wonky.
Oh, wow.
Like, what? So, yeah, so, no, I'm
that's
not
rough.
A big fan of Amazon.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure the Scott Ian book that I bought and the Frank Bello book I bought and the Peter Crisp book I bought, you can tell I like musicians. They, all of them, I believe, were printed through Amazon. The Scott Ian one might not have been, because I think I bought that at like Barnes and Noble. But the other two definitely were. And the Peter Crisp one, you can definitely tell was not great. Like, they blew up the font and made it extra pages just to make it a bigger book.
Mm-hmm.
Like, come on. All right. So, for $20, you get the physical copy and a PDF,
yes.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and signed. So is it signed just by you, or is it signed by
just
a couple
me.
Of you? Okay.
Just me, because the team is spread far and wide. So, like, the artist is out of Spain. The colorist is out of Argentina. The letter is out of Argentina. The editor is out of Texas. This cover artist, Christian Dabari, is also, I believe, out of Texas. Matthew Sutton's out of, I think, Chicago. And then I forget where Maria Wolf's out of, but
Chicago.
So, yeah.
She's out of Chicago.
Chicago. Okay. So, yeah. So, literally, it would be the biggest pain and so expensive to try and get everyone to sign a book. Maybe I could do that as a tier one day. Like, you want everyone to sign this book? Okay. That'll be like $10,000. Thanks. After all the shipping.
Because that's what it's going to cost me, international shipping.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
That's crazy. So, all right. For $30, you get the book and a pin. And your name on the thank you page. So that's kind of cool. And that's the pin, the Aware Wolf.
Yeah.
Right? That's cool.
So it's like a third eye sort of thing. I was debating doing a yoga pose, a werewolf, and have it be a werewolf, but We went with the third eye. Okay.
Like Downward Dog, Werewolf.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
Oh man. $50 catch-up tier. Physical copies of all of it and PDFs of all of it and yes. signed copies of all of it.
Yep.
Wow.
And a mini print, a bonus mini Ooh. Print by Emily Swan.
Aw, that is a cute little... That's definitely Emily. Holy shit. Mm-hmm. So, that's awesome. Yeah, that's a lot of book. That's not bad at all. Like, you know, if you're like a fan of werewolves and you have a friend who is a fan of werewolves, buy this one. Because then you get the PDF. If you read it and you're like, you know, I don't want to break my book's spines at all, because they are sure. thick books.
Yeah.
You know,
the first two are each 72, and this one's 96. So
right. So you could just read the PDFs and keep the signed ones off to the side. You can give some as gifts. Like, this is a great, you know, I think this is a great package for the people who like to give gifts of cool horror stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So this one I thought was interesting, because this one, what else did this one come with that I was like, oh yeah, so you get the t-shirt and the werewolf mini, like the little resin mini,
yep,
which I thought was cool. So how big is the mini? Is it like a regular, like,
it's a standard size mini, yeah,
or two and a half, whatever.
I forget standard the exact size. Standard size
D&D.
Yeah, it's standard size D&D okay. mini.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty sweet. And then you get the MP3 audio commentary, which...
Yeah.
So is the commentary like each creator talking about how them designing it, or is it you talking about each cover?
So, again... That would be difficult because of scheduling and everything else. So I try and do as much of it by myself as possible. So for what we did with the commentary for the second book is I have a buddy of mine, Charles McFall, who's another podcaster. And we sit down and literally we go through every page, every cover, all that stuff. And I just tell stories about, here's the backstory of this and, you know, who designed it, what went into it. Okay, here's page one. You know, this is what I was thinking on this one. And we go panel by panel and break it down, sort of like a behind the scene, like a director's commentary on a movie sort of thing.
Huh. That's pretty sweet. I almost want to just listen to that someday. Just like put it on in the car when I'm driving to like one of the stores.
Okay.
Like, you know, like my furthest drive's like,
I'll tell
I was
going
to say my furthest
long.
Drive's an hour and a half. So
it's not long enough. Your drive's not long enough.
Well, it's a 3-hour round trip.
Okay. You know what? I think it might be around 3 hours for us to go through all 72 pages and the covers. So you know what? You might be. I'd have to look at it again.
That'll be
It'll
awesome.
Definitely be longer than 3 hours for this book because of the 96.
Jeez. All right. Here's the retailer tier, which is, I think, did I do this one? I think I did this one twice.
I think you did that one.
I think I did two of it, though.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I doubled it because I wanted 10 copies.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
We have to get the extra Maria Wolf copies. So.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, they should. I guess that's the other question. So when you do a retailer tier, are all of the number threes going to be the Maria cover, or is it going to be a mix? Okay.
Nope.
Okay.
It'll all be Maria.
Oh, sweet.
So what's interesting is if you did buy the same tier twice, I don't know why you would do that. Because at retailer tier two, it's also 10, 10 of each. So
well, maybe that's what I did. We'll get to that.
It is
one.
Double.
We're almost to that point.
Because that tier, all it is I don't charge for the bookmarks or the prints or the mini prints or anything like that. It's just the wholesale cost for the books. So that's all the that goes into that price.
Cool. I like the 11x17 with store logo. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
So the cute little package of terror. This.
I love the knit.
Oh my god!
Oh,
like,
I almost forget.
I was gonna say, can we see the 6-inch crocheted werewolf? Because that's awesome.
Yeah, I got it right here.
All right, hold on. Let me. There we go.
Okay. Oh, that's cute.
Aww.
And if you get one of these, you can technically upgrade them or get the other one. So here's the 10-inch version. It's a little bit different color. And then there's an 18-inch version.
Holy crap.
Has a little bit more detail
So
as
you
well.
just beat someone with that.
Yeah.
Just fill it with sand and just go,
I was going to
wah.
say, I was like, you'd have to fill it something because it's very soft. So
I'm going to put quarters in it. It'll be fine.
There you go. Put oranges in it. So
oranges. Yeah, there we go.
Just Irish Spring. It'll be like, is that like in college, we used to make the joke of the Irish flogger where you put the Irish Spring in a tube sock and take somebody out back. So, this is an awesome package because you get, look at all the stuff you get. You get all the signed physical copy of 3, the digital copy of 3, the shirt, the pin, the audio commentary, the resin wolf, your name and the thank yous. Then you also get all this stuff. Like,
well, some of that is also that. So like
right.
The thing at the top is what you, it's like the, this is what's new in this tier. And then you also get this. And then the includes thing is just everything that's actually in the tier. Kickstarter's
right.
Weird with that, but
weird. Okay. I probably did this one. Yeah.
Okay.
So 10 copies of each store logo or store name, print with the logo, bookmarks, and mini print. Yeah. So,
because I think you also bought some extra, like some, I think you got some Emily Swan other stuff, I think. I can't remember.
I think so too.
I know you got
I think
a couple extras, but I don't remember exactly what they were.
I'll have to log in and
I think
they
were
look
Swan
what I got.
Stuff.
I think so. I love Emily's stuff. It's so good.
Oh, yeah.
This is the Wolf by Another Name. So, what else is on this one?
So you get a 6-inch resin statue. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that, like, it's kind of hiding. Oh, you get this
no, that's
one
the
instead.
You get that one, yeah.
Oh, damn.
That
that's
that looks
awesome.
Cool. Yeah, I
yeah,
was going to say.
One of the only good things to come out of MementoCon.
You just happen to find somebody that does resin?
The guy across from me printed, does like 3D printed mini stuff. And I said, hey, where do you get your stuff modeled? Because I was having a hell of a time finding somebody where it wasn't like, oh, you want that statue modeled? That'll be $5,000. I was like, it's not worth it at all.
Right.
And so, yeah, so he put me in touch with this guy who has a Patreon. And yeah, we worked together. He made the, or he designed the miniature and the statue. And I have the 3D printer, so I'll print them myself. So, yeah.
Wow.
Nice.
That's awesome.
And there was a bonus t-shirt in that tier too, because I made a t-shirt of everyone's favorite print, the black and white werewolf.
That one there? Or
there
this
go.
One? Oh yeah, this
Not
one.
That,
the
one,
new
that
one.
One there.
That's
It's a Pop Man art. And then
but
I think that
by
also,
Pop Man?
Yeah, Pop Man. MHAN. Oh. Is that how you pronounce it?
Yeah.
Yep. So my friend Shannon is friends with every person apparently in the industry. And so he just made her that print for me. And I was like, oh, okay. And literally, it's everybody's favorite print. Every show I go to, that's one I sell the most of.
So he was at Baltimore. Did you hang out with him at Baltimore?
No, I didn't get a chance to go talk because I'm always solo at shows. So I don't really get to get up and go around too much. For Maria, I was trying to get over there like before shows started or, you know, after shows, stuff like that. And I did also go over and say hi or bye, I can't remember which, to Philip Kennedy Johnson's wife, because she stopped by to say thanks. So
nice. Yeah. I was gonna say Popman is a good friend of our boss Todd, and he used to live in like somewhere down south, but it was more East Coasty, like
okay.
I want to say like Georgia or something, or Tennessee.
Okay.
And so Todd goes to Florida one year and he comes back and he's like, oh, I brought you this, and I have it on my wall. And he was sitting there with Potman just like at a bar or something. And he literally drew me the Flash, and it just says to GM John from Potman. And I'm just like, this is awesome. So I had to meet him. Cause I was like, dude, I loved your He-Man stuff. Like,
yeah,
you know, and that was mostly what we talked about. But now he lives in, I think, Texas. So he's a little bit further, a little bit further out. But I was just like, man, I am totally going to be able to hang out with this guy forever. Like the way, like he and I were very similar, I think, in how we were. So, And he just kind of seemed like that kind of guy that doesn't give like he gives zero shits. Like he's just like, yeah, it's cool, man, whatever. So, all right, so here we have the Trove of Treasures cover or level, which mm-hmm. is where we get the jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And this is this the one where it's like you get yourself.
You get to die in the next book.
Yeah.
And then I give you a print of your death page. Yeah. And there's
that's
also
so awesome.
There's also a little pin or a bat, or it's not a pin, it's a button. CFB for Chief Financial Backer.
Nice.
There you go.
The next tier is for you, John.
Oh yeah?
Yeah, because it's all the jerseys.
Oh shit, it's all the jerseys.
It's the jersey catch-up.
Oh God. Oh God.
Some tells me John's going to have a call. He's going to call Todd and be like, hey, can I get an advance on my bonus?
Yeah, I did really well this one. Can I get a bonus?
I promise I won't argue with you for the entire year. Can I just borrow $800? Right.
You'll just be texting me. You'll be like, Justin, argue with Todd. You'll be like, no, I don't want to do it again.
Oh, man. This is awesome. Like, oh, this is really cool. I wish I had $800 to dump on it for just myself. damn.
Want to go halvesies on it?
What, we'll just each get a jersey?
You just borrow the jerseys back and forth.
Yeah, we'll
so,
alternate.
You know, right.
Like,
get this one this
when's
week.
When's laundry day one. For you?
Well, but they're personalized hockey jerseys, though. Like, that's, like, what, how do we decide?
Back.
We could. You
could put GM on one, and then the other one we'll just put Lieutenant on the other, and we'll be back and forth.
Well, maybe we should see if Scott wants to split it, and then we'll each just get a jersey.
Get a jersey. There you go.
There you go.
I'm sure he'd be like, "What the hell? Why would I want this?" Like,
sorry. Well, if you don't want it, I guess I'll take it.
Talk Ryan like, into it. Ryan will do.
He'd be like, "These aren't magic cards."
You might be able to talk Ryan into it, though. Ryan would.
He might, yeah. Well, yeah, but he doesn't have that kind of money.
True.
But anyway,
I can always talk my wife into it, and she'll get a hockey jersey. Sure.
Super, super cool.
This tier is more of a joke. There's not really a whole lot added between the last one and this one. I just wanted to have one for it to be a nice round number. So, in addition to going on the thank you page, you also go in the credits with like the rest of the actual team, and you would have the title of God King. That would be
nice.
Wow.
Maybe you should have made like a scepter pin to go with it.
Scepter pin. Okay.
Ooh.
Okay.
The God King. The God King pin. Or like a it looks like a crown, but
that'll be for
teeth.
Next Kickstarter.
That's the next time. You know
use that for next Kickstarter.
God King pin.
Wow. That is freaking awesome. You get to die in it. You get jerseys. You get to be the God King. It's all good. Wow.
I was going to say, maybe you should talk. You should see if Blizzard be like, hey, look, I write this comic book and I'll pay you to have it in Diablo or World of Warcraft, but it needs to have the title God King.
There. My buddy used to work for Blizzard, and if Heroes of the Storm was still a thing, I could probably have gotten him to put it somewhere in Heroes of the Storm, but he doesn't work there anymore. So, and I don't think they do anything with Heroes anymore anyway.
No, that's one of the games that they cut.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
About all the fun little Easter eggs that never actually, that only the team knew about, and nobody outside the studio, like the Grump Stump. Apparently there's a Grumpy Stump someplace that they designed just for funsies that most people don't ever notice because you don't go there for any reason. And it's just a Grumpy Stump.
Like, I can only imagine like what happens when your boss finds out that you just like put all these random things in there and just kind of wasted time instead of just developing the game as you're supposed to.
Yeah,
but...
well, this was after the game had already come out. So at that point, they were just doing skins and like a new hero every once in a while.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
He was I can't remember if he was the lead artist or he was the director of environmental art, but yeah, so he was at Blizzard for a while. That's how I went to my first BlizzCon, my only BlizzCon. And then he went to Riot after that, and then Sid Meier, and I forget—I don't even remember where he is anymore because he just went to another studio in a like director role. So
that's pretty awesome.
Oh yeah, there was he had gotten, so apparently the dev team for Heroes of the Storm all got these reversible like hoodie jacket things, like the zip up kind, and they're really cool. They're blue and red, and they said dev team on them, and he didn't care, so he gave it to me. And I used to wear it all the time. I don't really fit it anymore since COVID. And when I went to visit him out in LA, I had it. He's like, yeah, you can't wear that. I was like, what? He's just like, yeah, people will know that I gave it to you and you're not supposed to have it. So no, you cannot.
Nope. You're like, shit, now I got to put this jacket on.
Yeah.
And it's hot because it's
there
LA.
There was a couple places I went to wearing that. And they're like, oh, I love your game, man. I was like, oh, I don't actually work for the, I don't know. I just get swag every once in a while. It's fine.
All right. So catch people up. Give them the Nickel Tour Volume 1 and Volume 2, and then kind of give us a little bit of a pitch for Volume 3 so people know what they're in for.
Sure. So Lycan Solomon's Odyssey is the story of the world's first werewolf. So it's a little horror, a little mythology, a little adventure, a little history. That's sort of like the grand scheme elevator pitch. The first book is the origin story in the series, sets up, you know, how he contracts lycanthropy, gets you used to the character, the setting, the stakes, that sort of a thing. The second book moves a little, it takes place the day after the first book ends, and then over the course of a couple hundred years, and it deals with themes of PTSD and anxiety and loss, things like that, and then opens the world up as well to things like magic and ancient Arabic mythology and folklore and monsters. And then this third book takes place, you know, after the second one, again, over the course of a couple hundred years. And this one, the best way I describe it is H.P. Lovecraft meets Gilgamesh. So it's all about Gilgamesh, but from the idea of what if the Epic of Gilgamesh is the story that Gilgamesh told, because he really doesn't want anyone to know what actually happened to him. And Enkidu would be, you know, Solomon and that sort of thing, because they're good friends in the book, right, and that sort of thing. And it also opens the world up even more to cosmic horror and gods and things from, you know, outer space and all that jazz. So.
And God kings.
And God kings. And God kings. Yeah. And if anybody plays D&D, you'll probably notice that the gods in the third book look an awful lot like the Goliath race from D&D, because that's sort of the main inspiration for the look of them, with some tweaks here and there. But I was like, I really like the Goliath race, and I feel like that would make for a really, you know, foreboding, just 8 foot tall, or I think they might even be 10 foot tall. They're freaking huge compared to like normal people. Yeah.
I think Justin's looking it up, and he's like, it's like, hold on, let me find it. I see the screen brighten up, so I'm like, oh, he's looking for something.
Yeah.
Either that, or you're just sitting way too close to your screen. It's one of the other.
Well, and that too. It's, yeah. I have to, because my pup is like pushing my seat forward here. She wants to get close to dad because, you know, mom's on work vacation.
See, my 116-pound dog doesn't care about getting close to me. She just, this is where I feel like being at this moment, and you just happen to be in the way. So,
yeah,
it is what it is. The other day, I was dog-sitting my roommate's dog because she was away. So I had both dogs in the bed with me. And I woke up at 4 a.m, and I was laying diagonally because her dog had just taken the spot where my feet were and just pushed me out of the way. And then at about 5 or 6 a.m, my dog climbs up like where I am laying, because I'm on the edge, and just straight up pushes me to the other side of the bed and is like, nope, this is my spot now. And just lays her head on my pillow. I got no blankets because I got two heavy dogs laying on the blankets. I'm like, no, it's fun. It's good. Have a great time. Thanks, dogs.
Yeah. Yeah. She definitely does this. We have two cats, and it is a riot watching them interact. Because the old man doesn't care. He just sleeps on the dog. The young one is like, oh, you're sissy. So he'll get up on his hind leg and he'll just go.
I would be curious to see what my dog would do with cats, because she's like typically pretty sweet with like other dogs, even ones that are like super tiny. But the only time she's ever met a cat was outside on the street, and that cat stood in the middle of the sidewalk and didn't budge, and Yoshi took a very wide berth around said cat. So I don't know. Who knows what she would do?
My dogs are just tiny and fast and crazy, and yeah, like, just like they do the same thing. Like, exactly. Well, I'm not tiny. I'm like the opposite of tiny. mostly because I'm a fat guy, but
where you are with all that, you know, the temperature being that low.
It's true. Yeah. It's like natural. Insulation. It's like wearing a natural sweater. It's great.
Yeah.
I feel the pain of sleeping diagonally in the bed. Like that is an every evening thing. And then every once in a while, Marshall will end up just vomiting in the bed, and we're just like,
you up faster than that sound.
Yep.
Where is it coming?
Yep.
I'm like,
oh God. And I throw the blankets on the floor immediately, and I just wait for it to happen.
Yeah.
And then when it happens, depending on where it happens, I'm like, well, going to sleep on the couch, or because I'm not going to sleep in, you know, after I clean it up, like on a big wet pile. But if it, but if it happens on my wife's side, then whatever, I'm just going to whatever.
That's for her to deal with. It's whatever.
Right. This is
your
problem.
Side. You gotta, yeah, that's your side. You got to wash your problem. Side.
Right.
You just like take an X-Acto knife and just cut that side of the covers off. You're like, you know what?
Oh, no. Like she has a separate blanket like that is just her side of the bed that she puts on the bed, and then sleeps on top of that with blankets, even though she's the one who's like always excessively hot. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, so
just like blankets.
And I can't sleep in the extra room anymore, which I only did during when I had COVID. But because she turned it into her office, and the bed that was in there, she literally flipped it on its side and just moved it off to the side of the room. And I'm just like, what are we doing with this? I don't know, whatever. I'm like, oh, okay.
You just need to learn to sleep standing up, and then you can like stand up leaning into the bed.
Well,
easy. Problem solved.
I mean, So a couple weeks ago, I started rewatching the X-Men animated series, and there were a couple nights where I definitely fell asleep sitting up watching it. And I'd wake up and I'd be like, shit, I can rewind two episodes. So I definitely have been doing that. Now I'm on to the Spider-Man animated series, and I just finished the Daredevil episodes before we started tonight. And they were actually really good, except the dude who voiced Daredevil, like, his voice is like overly boomy. He's like, I'm Daredevil. And I'm just like, dude, back off.
Yeah. I remember when Spider-Man 3 came out back in the day. I was like, why didn't they just do the plot line from the animated series when it came to Venom? I was like, they did it great. You should have just done that.
Yep.
There you go. Boom. And there's plenty of people who hadn't seen it that it would have been like, oh, this is new to me.
I mean, they kind of did that. But
well, there was a bell.
There was a bell.
Well, so there was, so the only the main thing is like the animated version didn't have the Sandman and who's the
Goblin.
Other one that was in there? The other Green Goblin, the Hairy Goblin. Whoever thought that Hairy Goblin's look was a good thing was also, I'm pretty sure, very high or drunk or something.
Remember that era was the era of extreme. So it was like, if we make him look like he comes out of ESPN X games, he'll look cool.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what he looks like.
X Goblin. We'll just call him X Goblin.
Yeah.
Tony Hawk.
Tony Goblin.
Tony Hawk.
Tony Hawk Goblin.
Yeah, there we go. It's like, watch him do the 360. Woo!
Right. And throw a grenade.
Right. with Rancid playing in the background and you know.
Can you dig on this?
I'll
never forget. For the rest of my life, I'll never forget. Can you dig on this?
I would have paid like for the last Spider-Man if they would have all kind of did a dance, a little jig. That would have been funny. Like
the
end
as a
credits
meme where somebody did that, and like, because they're obviously those other two actors have danced at some point.
Yeah,
they just stuck him in the background of that same scene as him walking out, like doing the whatever scene that yeah. was, and then just stuck
the
those
emo,
two behind him.
The emo dance scene. It was
deleted
like,
scene from what was it?
Right.
This is what Sam Raimi really wanted to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was not good. But in the animated though, it's even weirder because like instead of him being like emo-y, he's like super overly aggressively like roiding out angry, and just like it's like whoa, which like
well,
and, you know, because I kind of thought
comics,
that I was like.
Though.
Oh, yeah, I know. But I'm just like, which way would I have preferred it? Because I don't think that Tobey Maguire could have pulled off the...
Yeah, it's true.
Like,
I don't know if he
the
could've.
Angry, roided out style.
Well,
would have had to
Peter
use
Parker.
The CGI
they
to
did,
make him all bulky.
They did have him be aggressive, because, like, he would constantly taunt Tony Hobgoblin, and, like, he blew up his face and all that stuff. So
yeah.
And he tried to murder Sandman, so... I mean, basically, they subbed out... Because I think in the animated series, wasn't it Rhino that he was just absolutely demolishing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. So, they basically subbed out Rhino for Sandman, I feel like.
Yeah. I also found some interesting trivia about the animated series. Like, Sandman doesn't appear because James Cameron was originally going to make a Spider-Man movie, and he wanted Sandman in it and Electro. Those were the two people he wanted in it. So, that's why... The Electro we get in the Spider-Man animated, it's like at the very end, the last season, might even be the last episode, and it's not actually like the actual character that is Electro, and
wasn't
Sandman
it
never
Red
appears at
Skull's
all.
kid or something?
Yeah.
When he was fighting with Captain America and the was it the
Right.
Freedom Fighters, whatever the heck they called themselves,
Mm-hmm.
The Freedom Force, whatever the heck they were.
It's been such a long time.
Well, it was
I did.
It was the Wizard. I remember the Wizard.
Wizard.
Right.
Black Marble. Lady America or something like that. It was like a couple of them there. I remember watching it. This is like my just off the top of my head. I haven't watched it in forever.
I haven't quite got there. I think I'm in season 4 right now because I just
this
watched.
Is like one of the last seasons.
Yeah, I'm almost there because there's only 5 seasons of it. I did watch like the X-Men episodes were pretty good. Which is weird because I'm just like, man, the animation on this show is so much better than the animation that was on the X-Men show. So, but then
they
they went
came out
back
right
to
around the
that
same
studio.
time, right?
Yeah,
A
but they were
couple
two
years
different
later.
Okay. Because they showed
like,
them both on Fox Kids when I was growing up.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Yes. But they weren't allowed to use Spider-Man on the X-Men one. But they can use the X-Men on the Spider-Man one because the X-Men was being done in Canada and Spider-Man was in LA. So that's why they brought all those guys down to LA for the 2 episodes. Yeah. And that's why when they do Secret Wars, it's only Storm because it's not the Storm that was currently Storm's voice. It was the original Storm voice who happened to still be living in LA. So, yeah. So they were like, oh, well, we can make this work. Come over here and just do this voiceover. But it was, I thought that was cool. There were some definitely some good episodes. Like when they go through like the whole mutant or the mutagenic nightmare or whatever they call it, where it's like basically the Morbius story. And like they do really well with him. Like Blade was interesting because I was like, why does Blade dress like Danny Ketch? And then why does he have a lightsaber?
I don't even remember Blade from the animated from Spider-Man.
Yeah,
animated
he's in
series.
Like 2 episodes.
Well, again, this was pre Wesley Snipes where they actually made him cooler.
I don't know. When was that first Blade movie? Hold on.
1997.
I was gonna say, I know it was in the 90s.
97.
Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
98,
97 or
98, sir.
Yeah.
98.
98.
Yeah. So it was before that, but that
he's
episode
like a biker.
Was most. Yeah. Yeah. He's got like
now
the
now
three
he looks
spikes.
Familiar. I'm like, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
Does have
he
a
totally.
Lightsaber.
Yeah, he's got looks a lightsaber.
Like Ghost Rider.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He looks like Danny Ketch. And then like, but that story has like him and Whistler, and they talk about the serum and everything. And it's basically the first movie without Frost in it.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out. I thought it was very well done. Like most of the Spider-Man show, I'm like enjoying more than the X-Men show, because it's a little less like, what the hell? Like, why don't they know this guy? And blah blah blah. Like,
didn't
it was
the
a little
X-Men
less
show just kind of also just end, like it just stopped on a random episode or something like that?
Yeah,
it was supposed to end on graduation day, which is what it did end on. If you watch it now, they basically take the seasons and kind of like reweave the stories so that they make a little more cohesiveness to them.
Okay.
So like in the middle of season two, you get like the X Factor episode. Because all of a sudden I'm like, that's not the right theme song. Cause it's like that last season had like the actual guitar player, like playing the song. And the art was like different. But Saban had done the X-Men show. This other company did Spider-Man animated. Then when Marvel folded and Fox split with UPN, they killed both shows and then did Spider-Man Unlimited, but it was a pseudo continuation of Spider-Man animated, but was with Saban Studio. So that's why the animation in that show isn't as good as Spider-Man, but the writing is good because it's the same. Like it's the same people. But it's sort of 2099.
Okay.
Like I'm just like, isn't this supposed to be Miguel? Like what the hell?
I was gonna say, yeah, they had that short run for like, wasn't it?
It was like two
yeah,
seasons,
it was unlimited,
maybe.
But like, wasn't J. Jonah Jameson's son like a werewolf in that or something?
Well, I think he's in that in the regular.
Or is it
stuff.
Okay? Was it?
Yeah, because he's Man Wolf. Yeah,
Man Wolf. Okay.
Yeah.
He doesn't turn into anything in that new Unlimited series.
Oh, he doesn't. Okay.
No, they end up on the planet with all these animal people, which is like kind of like the high evolutionary kind of thing.
Yeah.
Without the high evolutionary.
Yeah.
And wasn't
but he's
also
dressed
like
stylized... Spider-Man 2099.
Yeah. And wasn't there like a stylized Carnage and Venom too or something like that?
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay.
Yep. Yeah, but like it's weird because the Venom was only in the series so far for 3 episodes, and that's it. And it's just like, okay, so when's Carnage coming in? Because I think he comes in at the very end.
He does come in. I remember him being in the anime.
I was gonna say he's in it a couple times.
Yeah,
because you meet Cletus, and then you have Spidey Carnage, which is like the whole multiverse, the first multiverse. Where you meet like the half a dozen Peter Parkers and Ben.
Oh,
Murray.
Yeah, because this is where Spider-Verse got its whole backstory from. So,
yep, with the proper Madam Web.
Oh, yeah, I just actually she's in the story that I'm doing right now,
yeah.
Which
she was in that
you
show
know,
a lot, I feel like, from what I remember.
Yeah, she's through that last season where she's kind of like the she's like the Obi-Wan Kenobi of spider people.
Yeah.
Where she's putting him through tasks to train him throughout the series. Which was cool. You know, I get it. It was, you know.
Well, that starts in season 4, which is where I'm at now. Because that's where like Doctor Strange and Baron Mordo are like the opening episode.
Yes.
And
with the proper Wong.
The bald
Kung Fu Wong.
But even though he totally sounds very Western American.
Actually, I think what's his name does the voice is Mr. Sulu does the voice of Wong in that, if I'm not mistaken.
Really?
Oh.
Yeah.
George
Takei, yes.
It's Takei.
Is it Takei or Kai? Okay.
It's Takei.
He always
says it because he says something like it rhymes with gay. Like Yeah. So it's Takei. But whatever. I think he'd be fine with Takei. Whatever, as long as you get George right.
It sounds very fancy. I'm sure he doesn't mind.
I'm sure he just was like, just call me Sulu, it's cool.
Yeah.
So I love him.
On I would just Twitter. Refer to him soon. I love watching. Oh, him yeah. on Twitter. He kills the GOP constantly, and it amuses the heck out of me.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, I think that pretty much wraps it up. So, all right. So, let's have people know where they can find Lycan, where they can back it, where they can find you on socials if they have questions or just want to reach out and be like, yo, bitch in jerseys, you know, whatever.
Sure. So you can check out the Kickstarter at www.lycanbook.com. That's LycanBook.com. That's the easy to redirect. I mean, if you really want to search for it on Kickstarter, you can look up Lycan Solomon's Odyssey Chapter 3. You can also find my website, HiveHeadStudios.com. If you wanted to pick up the first two books before, you know, backing the Kickstarter, or you wanted to get them and not have to wait until the third book comes out, sort of a thing, you could do it that way as well. You can also get to the Kickstarter through the website. You can find me on social media at World's Most Okayest DM or over on Hivehead Studios. If I post on one, I just post to the other one anyway. So if you follow one, you follow both pretty much. And I'm also part of Botched, a D&D podcast, an improv comedy show draped in the loose skin of Dungeons & Dragons with a little bit of drinking involved. And our current season is set in the SCP universe. If you're familiar with that. And if you're not, we have an employee orientation video over on our YouTube page, Botched Podcast. Because I make company training videos for my normal day job. So I was like, well, this is easy.
That's awesome. All right. Well, as maybe
we should
always
have him make that for New Dimensions. That would be.
There you go.
I don't know. Like training videos. Like they would watch it. Come on. So
most of what I make for my actual day job is propaganda. It's just internal propaganda, like, hey, this is a thing and you should be excited about it. And you don't have a choice. We're cramming it down your throat, but you should be excited. And here's why.
Yeah. Oh, it would just be Todd, Comic Cub, Todd, Comic Cub, Dollar Books. And that's all we need in the company. Right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Boom. Easy peasy.
So exactly. Exactly. All right. Well, thank you as always, Dennis. You're always fun to hang out with, and I am looking forward to hanging out with you again in June.
Yeah.
You know, it's going to be a great time in Pittsburgh. We're very excited. Maybe we can talk Maria into doing random sketches of Solomon at the show.
Sure.
That'd be awesome.
I'm sure she'd probably be down for it. Oh, you want me to make more werewolf stuff? Yeah, I could do.
Yeah, I'm sure. Be like, hey, you know that train I bought you? You know, can you just draw me?
There you go.
Yeah, that'd be sweet.
So, but yeah, thank you for having me on. It's always fun. So I appreciate coming on and hanging out with you guys.
Awesome. We love having you, man. You're always a good time, and you know, it's great to have guests like you because you know, they're always a joy to look forward to. It's not just like, oh, this dude just wants to come on and talk about his podcast, like. You know, it's a lot of fun, and you know, even though you're an Eagles fan, we'll put that aside.
Listen, so. We used to be one team. We used to be one team a long time ago. We were the Steagles, you know. I got no problem with the Steelers. It's a totally different division, whatever, or a different conference.
Yeah,
I root for either one as long as they're not playing for the, you know, playing against each other. No, I root for the Eagles.
Right, that's fair. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll catch you next week. Don't forget to buy comics at your local shop. Doesn't have to be us, but it'd be nice if it was. We will see you next week. All right.